Your home for hockey and hounds. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back. Rothman and Ice. And we open up the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline and welcome in our friend from Bucknuts, the one and only Dave Biddle. Bids, good to have you.
Gentlemen, congrats on the relatively new show. I have worked with both of you many, many times, and this is my first time on your new show, so congratulations, boys.
We were ramping up. We wanted to see if we would survive before we booked you.
Thanks.
So don't take it personally that we didn't have you as the number one guest. You're definitely number one in our hearts. You weren't number one on the program, but we have you, and we're happy about it. So here we are. We have a football team that is not going to look at this season anymore as a season that might have been. The pressure for them to be responsible and to stay negative is immense. We know that. But let's tackle the headline. Do you think Sean Wade is going to, if he is going to go on national TV tonight, would that lead you to believe that he would be going on there to announce that he is trying to opt in?
I think so, Anthony. I'd be really surprised if he's going to go on national TV to re-announce that he is opting out. You know, and you look at how outspoken his dad has been, and not that should matter. I mean, Randy Wade was out there fighting the good fight, so I would have fully supported Sean and Wyatt Davis, you know, if they decided to, stay with their initial decision and not play for the Buckeyes this year, because it wasn't their fault. They decided to come back, and it was because of the Big Ten dragging its feet, you know, initially canceling its season, and I'm sure they lost faith, even though there was, you know, some good news out there. They're probably thinking, yeah, fooled me, you know, five times, you know, shame on me. So at that point, I think they were just like, listen, like, I'm gone. But to answer your question, Anthony, I do think Sean Wade's going to come back. We'll see, though. It's 2020. You know, I would never bet heavily on anything. But, I'd be surprised if he was going on national TV to break up with the Buckeyes for the second time.
Dave, let's say the worst-case scenario happens with Wyatt Davis, and for whatever reason, he won't be allowed to suit up for these Buckeyes. We know Josh Myers is in the mix, but looking at that unit without a guy like Wyatt Davis, or even with him if you want, who are some other names that could be in the mix, rotational guys that could be key cogs to this offensive line this year?
Yeah, Matt, I think DeJuan Jones is a guy that comes to mind immediately. I mean, he was going to give Nicholas Petit-Ferreira a battle at right tackle regardless. And, you know, but the coaches said, you know, that was going to be Nick's job this year most likely. But DeJuan Jones played well as a true freshman last year in his cameo role. They really thought they were going to redshirt him, get him in four games or less and redshirt him. But, you know, he was good enough as a backup where he ended up playing in more than four games. He's a mountain of a man. 6'8", 6'9", listed at 360, but probably more like 380, maybe even bigger than that. But he moves well because of his basketball background. He didn't just play basketball in high school. You know, he was one of the top 10 players in the state of Indiana, high school basketball. We know that the basketball is very good over there. So he moves his feet well. He's huge. Even though he did play tackle last year as a true freshman, you could see him playing guard with just with that size. You know, even at the next level, the NFL, you could see him being a guard at 6'8", 360. So DeJuan Jones is the first guy that comes to mind. I think for sure Harry Miller is going to be left guard, as we know anyway, taking over for Jonah Jackson. So, yeah, if for some reason, you know, the worst happens with Wyatt Davis, Matt, I do think DeJuan Jones is the most likely candidate to start at right guard.
We're talking with our guy Dave Biddle. He's editor of Bucknuts on 24/7 Sports. He covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. He hosts On the Money here on The Fan on Sundays from 11 to 1. Let me get your feeling when you heard that Sean Wade was opting out. I mean, I thought the timing was really interesting. It was almost like a preemptive opt-out. You know, we were on the verge of getting a yay or nay on the season, and then he didn't stick around to wait for it. I thought it was fairly calculated, and that if he had lost passion for the season and the circus that was going on, which is what his dad described, then he was more than entitled to opt out. What was your feeling then when he opted out on how it would impact this secondary? And let's go on the hypothetical just for this conversation. If he stays out, what is your confidence level of what the secondary can become?
Yeah, it could still be good, but, I mean, it was already a concern of mine, more so at safety than corner, because I do believe in Seven Banks. I think he's going to be one of those guys that, you know, was a backup, and all of a sudden he's probably a one-year starter and will be off to the NFL. I do think Seven Banks is going to have a big year, and Cam Brown, another junior who's played sparingly because there's been so many good corners ahead of them, but played a lot on special teams, but played sparingly at corner. Cam Brown's the fastest guy on the team, in the 40 at least. But it would be big. because you can't lose your entire secondary from last year and be like, yeah, they're just not, you know, they're not going to miss a beat. It's going to hurt, you know, especially you're talking about the number three pick in the draft in Okuda, another first-round pick in Arnett, you know, a young man that could be a first-round pick in Sean Wade. And then, you know, Jordan Fuller, we're seeing, you know, how valuable he was. He slipped to the sixth round because he's not a burner, not a big hitter, but perfect center fielder in that defense, especially that one high safety look. And, I mean, those are four really, really good players. So if they don't have Sean Wade, that's going to hurt. And they have talent there, but they're going to have you know, a lot of the young guys, like Legend Cavazos is a guy that I love, and I think he's going to be a really, really good player for them. But he's a true freshman right now. Did enroll early, and, you know, they only got the 3 days of spring practice in. But they got all of winter conditioning in. If you talk to some of the coaches over there, they'll tell you that, you know, getting that Mickey Marotti, you know, January, February, you know, workout, especially in February where he really, really pushes them, is almost as valuable or more valuable than spring ball itself. So at least Legend Cavazos got to come in and get acclimated. So you're going to see some more young guys play, and even some older guys that we haven't seen as much, like a Marcus Williamson would get more of a chance, especially with Marcus being able to play the slot. So that would hurt, though. And they already have issues at safety because we're not sure if it's going to be, you know, Josh Proctor, who's got a lot of talent, or if it's going to be Marcus Hooker, who is a little more consistent. I mean, you know, not as quite as talented as Proctor, not as big of a hitter, but, you know, came on at the end of last year. So, yeah, the secondary, even if Sean Wade does come back, is a minor concern of mine. If Sean Wade doesn't come back, then it becomes a big concern.
Dave, what do you think of the running backs, man? Because Trey Sermon, you know, coming from a big-time program in Oklahoma, is a name people are excited about. Master T, you know, he got a lot of backup carries behind J.K. a season ago. And then you got some other names that are banged up, and Steel Chambers and some other guys as well. Do you think it'll be kind of like a bell cow back type of thing with Trey Sermon if he is the dude? Or do you think this will be Ryan Day and company will maybe split this thing up because there's been so much uncertainty with all these guys?
I do think it'll be somewhat of a running back by committee, but I also think, Matt, that Trey Sermon's going to be the guy. Like, he'll be the guy that gets most of the carries. It's not going to be like a complete timeshare with him and Master Teague. Now, if Master Teague was completely healthy, which maybe he is, you know, they say he's a freak of nature, but yeah, he had a partially ruptured Achilles. So, you know, again, just to, you know, draw a comparison, not as severe as what Kevin Durant had, where it would keep you out for 12 months or more, but still pretty bad, similar to what Tough Borland had a few years ago. So if Master Teague is completely healthy, Master Teague is going to play a decent amount. If he's not, you know, I could see them, you know, Trey Sermon being closer to a bell cow than it being running back by committee. But regardless, they're going to get other guys in there. You know, if Marcus Crowley's healthy, he's coming off a torn ACL, though. You know, Steel Chambers is a guy that you mentioned. Steel Chambers is healthy. And they like Mayan Williams, too. I think they want to redshirt him, maybe play him in four games or less. But like DeJuan Jones last year, maybe Mayan Williams will be good enough where they decide to throw that plan out the window. He definitely came in rock solid. But I think a guy like Steel Chambers is probably going to play more than Mayan Williams will. So I think Mayan Williams will probably redshirt. But to answer your question, I think Trey Sermon's going to be the guy, just not J.K. Dobbins style, not like Ezekiel Elliott style or Carlos Hyde, where you have that one guy who has, you know, 90 or 95% of the carries during a season. So we'll see. But I think Trey Sermon's going to be the guy, though.
All right, Bids, great stuff. I know we got a month to talk to you about this and practice, and hopefully they can navigate things, but we'll leave the last 20 seconds on this. Do your boys in the Queen City take down C-Town? And does Burrow win round one Rocky style against Apollo? Does he floor Baker in round one?
I do think the Browns are going to bounce back this week. Everybody's telling them how terrible they are, and I do think they're better than what they played. They ran into a buzzsaw in week one in the Ravens. I think everybody's overreacting. Bengals, they're in good hands with Joe Burrow. Great hands. I think the future is bright there, but I do think the Browns are going to squeak out a victory tonight in Cleveland. I hope I'm wrong.
All right. No, I'm with you. Maddie's got him covering, and I'm taking Cincy in the six, but it's dicey. I hope it's really competitive. I hope we get a four-quarter game, that's for sure.
That'd be great. It's great talking to you guys.
Always, Bids. Thanks for jumping on, pal. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, guys.